A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
What the heck is going on with all these promotional popcorn buckets? The giant shorts that all of Gen Z is wearing now? And whatever the heck Hyrox is? I'm comedian and certified hater Matt Belisai, and these are the types of questions I'm demanding answers to on my podcast, What the Heck with Matt Belisai. Listen or watch every Thursday as I rant about all the internet trends, pop culture stories, and personal mayhem that makes me scream, What the Heck? Follow What the Heck with Matt Belisai wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
Second and two on the third snap of the second half for the Cavaliers. Now the deep shot throw, and down there it is. Touchdown, Day-Day Martin.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Work these two-minute situations a lot. Singles are key.
Second and 15, Ali Hollow runs. The ball pops out. Tajiri picks it up. He's going the other way. He's going to score a touchdown. He hesitated, thought about getting down on the ground, but decided to score it anyway. A forced fumble.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Happy Monday, everybody.
What is happening?
Good to be back. Hello. Good morning.
How was the hood to coast? Did we win it this year? Was it the championship year we hoped it would?
We did it.
We did the thing.
We didn't win.
We got done, though. Did you finish? Did we make the finish line with the sun out?
We made the finish line.
Okay.
I was asked at my rental car return, so where'd you finish?
What was your number? How many teams are there? Do they tell you?
There's over 1,200.
1,200 teams? Okay.
So they do tell you if you want to check it.
Like where we were 942nd place. Place this year. All right.
You know,
that's not bad.
I said middle bottom, probably more bottom than middle.
Okay. No, but nothing wrong with being a bottom.
Now, are there, like, normally if you just run individually, there's all sorts of smaller classifications, like for older, you know, masters or kids or men, women, all that stuff. Is there any different classifications of teams, or is it just everybody's out there and some team that's all like Nike former college runners or something wins, something like that?
As somebody who's never checked the actual finishing results.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
I couldn't tell you one year where we finished.
Oh, really?
Oh. Not one.
It's just about the memories you make along the way. Getting to the beach.
It's the journey.
Dude, We're never going to be in the top, like, of the 1,200, we're never going to be. I'm never going to be on a team.
Yeah.
That's in, like, the top 900, probably.
Oh, okay.
If I'm being honest with you.
I didn't know.
It's okay, though.
It's all right.
It's not about where you finish.
No.
It's about finishing.
That's right.
You know?
And getting to the coast with the sun up and enjoying the beach and a cold beer.
So when she asked me that, I was like, I don't know, middle bottom, probably more bottom. And she goes, well, you can get them next year.
Get them next year.
We're probably going to get worse next year, lady.
Let's start training now. You got 365 days nearly until next year's Hood to Coast. You got time. We got almost 12 months.
The funny thing was leaving Thursday when you brought it up.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't always read during the segments like live commentary. The wife, when I got home, was like, listeners were asking if they had ever heard you talk about the event because they ask you the same questions every year. And I go, yeah, it's really odd. You guys, you don't have to run the event, but
no,
like,
I don't remember anything.
I've been running it for 10 years.
Yeah, I know it's a team race. I know that. I know you got that. I know it starts at Timberline and then you end at the coast. I got that for you.
How was the first leg triumphantly down Timberline?
Yeah, that was the tone setter, I would say. So I realized.
Were you feeling good? You just let it rip?
No, not at all. Legs. We showed up 15 minutes before our run.
Oh, okay.
I then had to go back to the van to get a safety vest because they do a safety check to make sure you have all the
make sure you got all your gear on.
Lights in darkness,
exactly.
Right? So then we had to do that, get our bracelet that you hand off, and by the time we walked to the start line, we were a minute away from starting. Let's get a selfie.
Here we go.
All right, take the photo. Take the photo. Okay, all right. Then I walk over there. I open my watch to hit run. It's like, go! And I'm like, no.
I think we blame this on the finish. You guys could have gone in the top 700 if you gotten off to a better start.
Well, I'm literally the last person to cross the starting line. I'm like barely jogging just to set my music up.
Right.
And I hear this from the main mic. You know, they have a main guy who calls out the team name. He goes, looks like the pace car needs to pick it up a little bit. And I'm just like, oh, damn it, great comment. And then I got running, and then we started going a little bit, and I would say maybe within a quarter of a mile, I tweaked my calf in a way I'd never tweaked before.
Oh, that's lovely.
Because I was overcompensating for the foot by leaning on the other side.
So now the foot on one leg and the calf on the other leg are nagging you a little bit.
You're going downhill, so you're also not wanting to just barrel down. So you're kind of like controlling the body from going faster than it, you know, it should.
Knees are taking a pounding.
So now I'm like not even a mile in, and I'm just thinking, don't pop. Don't pop, don't pop, because Dave, our famous buddy Dave over here,
he couldn't
run it because he popped his calf.
I know, he got too aggressive in the last week of training.
So he got into my mind, and now I am basically load managing a six-mile run to start Hood to Coast, and I just went, what a tone setter of a race.
This is a great way to begin.
I got through it.
Worried about my calf every step that I take.
Dude, I just,
this is delightful.
I had to like talk to myself out loud to get my mind off of don't pop. Don't pop.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
So that was kind of the tone setter of the whole thing. And then we all got through leg one. And once we hand it off, I get to my house and I'm just like, oh my God, how am I going to run two more times?
I got two more legs to go.
Do you have one
man.
Of those therapy gun things? The muscle?
I have leg compression.
Socks?
Not
sleeves?
Socks.
Sleeves?
No, like you put your leg in.
Oh, like the zip up?
The zip up. Yeah, the zip up.
Yeah, yep.
I bought one of those a couple years ago, so I did that. I iced it. Nothing was going to help it except resting it and not running again.
And that's not an option.
And that is not, yeah. So
the race has begun.
KT tape and biofreeze and
go,
calf
baby.
Sleeves and got
Pop
through the
Advil.
Second one and did pretty well on the second one. And I'm like, okay, we're just going to have to nut up for this third one. Got to the point where we were going to do the third one. Did the third one. The problem was, however, gentlemen, during the second leg, my oldest brother, who ran the event last year with me, is running it again. We think he's finishing, so we send our runner to the finish line.
Uh-oh.
And he calls me, and I'm like, what?
What? In the middle of his leg. Why am I getting a phone call right now?
I go, hey, man. He goes, hey, I fell. And I was like, you're not finishing right now? And he's like, no, I'm not finishing right now. And we're like, okay.
Are you all right?
Whereabouts was this?
Fall off the mountain?
A little past Scappoose.
Okay.
So we're getting towards St.
So you're on Highway 30.
On Highway 30. We're at an elementary school. It's one of the exchange points. He's calling me. He's telling me his partner has picked him up, and it's black. You cannot see anything. There's no night lights out there. So he comes 5 minutes later. He's in the passenger side of his partner's car. He hands me the bracelet that you're supposed to pass. His hands are covered in blood. And I'm like,
what
did you do?
I like grab it. I'm like, oh,
dude,
can I get a wet wipe here?
Yeah. So we give the bracelet to our runner. We go, hey, just go run. We'll meet up with you. It's our final leg to run.
Yeah.
I go to him. His hands are covered in blood. His leg is covered in blood. His ankle is swollen to the size of like a grapefruit.
Oh.
And I'm like, what happened? He goes, I hit like a little dip in the road and I didn't see it. And then my ankle completely turned over. And then I broke my fall with my hands and my legs scraped. And his partner just so happened was going to meet up with him at that exchange. He was on his way there. So he called him.
Said, just come grab. Yeah.
He said, could you pick me up? Picks him up. He couldn't run. So now we are down a runner.
With the one more leg to
with
go.
With one more leg.
Somebody's got to double dip the chip.
He's running. His third leg is the hardest leg of all the legs that the whole team has to run because it's all uphill.
Oh, no.
I am hurting in a way I haven't hurt before. Dusty's wife, who's a beast, her knee is aching in a way that has not ached before.
Right.
My cousin ran. He's 54 years old.
Ain't not going again.
You know he's hurting.
No, I'm not doing that uphill. That's not me.
My buddy, Jesus, is probably like in the best shape because he's running a half marathon, but he's a little achy. So we just decided like we're going to have to gangbang that run.
Yeah, everybody jump in with a mile of it.
There was no other option.
Yeah.
We were down a runner. We weren't going to skip a leg.
No, you can't do that.
No.
So
finish.
We all took turns, and being an absolute idiot and barely able to walk, I took the entire uphill part.
Hey, look at you. That's team. That's the captain right there, all right? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do for the better cause of the team.
We got through it.
You survived.
I'm still hurting. It hurts to go upstairs, and downstairs is the worst.
That's wonderful.
My calves are tight, but you know I'm here.
Other than that, everything's going fantastic. Other than the last leg of the
It was a good time, though. I mean, I had a good time, a lot of laughs.
That was the party on the beach afterwards.
Party on the beach was great. The bumper cars was always, you know, I do the bumper cars every year we get to Seaside. I go to the bumper cars first, and then we go to the festivities. You have to get a card at the Seaside bumper cars instead of just paying with cash or a credit card.
Yeah.
I had just gotten like $180 from my dead stepdad and as inheritance money. You know what I mean? He's balling. So I had extra cash, so I was like, I'll pay for the team.
Big Daddy Sprague, a little more money to spend around the coast.
It's $5.
It's going to the arcade, kiddos.
$5 a person to do bumper cars.
Right.
So I only have 20s. So I put in two 20s to get a card. It distributes the five cards. I dole them out, and they're all looking at me like, why did you just do that? And I went, well, I had the cash. Like,
yeah,
no, did you not read? And I looked down, and it says, kiosk does not distribute change. It was $25. I put 40 in. So in my wallet, I have a $15.
For next time you're there.
There you go.
Next year?
You're going to use that.
Well, unless it expires, and I haven't read that yet either.
Great time.
Thankfully, it wasn't really my money. I wasn't expecting to get any money.
Yeah.
So I didn't really like care that much, but I felt like an absolute idiot. Bumper car's great.
I got a $15 credit, no big deal, next time we're at the coast, all right?
Yeah, so it was a very interesting experience, to say the least. It was a good time. Top three moments, okay?
Yeah,
my top three at the coast.
Power rank. Here we go, big board. Well, number three.
I could list 20, but I'm going to narrow this down to three. Number three is easy. My second leg, I ran right past our building.
Oh, hey.
The first mile, 1.8 of the miles, my legs felt like at any given moment my knee was either going to completely collapse or my Achilles on my left leg was going to snap.
Yeah.
But after they got warmed up, I finished that second leg at like an 8:27 pace.
Feeling good.
I was beasting it.
Yes.
Okay? The Diet Coke at the finish line is as crisp a Diet Coke as I've ever had in my life. That was number three. Number two, I finally got my buddy to get off his 15-year public crapping phobia, and he took a massive dump.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go.
And I was so proud.
Public poos.
He came out, and I went, yeah!
You did it!
And there's this big line of people, and he's trying not to look at me, and I'm like, way to go, buddy!
So proud of you!
Because he hadn't publicly crapped in 15 years.
I don't know how that's physically possible.
You hold it.
At just a some point, there's got to be an emergency. Has he ever crapped his pants?
Not that
you're
that
aware
question.
Of.
Not that I'm aware of.
If you're refusing to poop in public, I'm assuming at one point there was an emergency and you couldn't make it where you needed to go.
So I'm like, I hear him say this and I went, you don't go in public?
You got to get over this.
I have to go home. I'm like, you have to go home.
I'm not on the Hood to Coast and you ain't driving home, buddy. We got no options here.
You only get one stop at home and that's after leg one and then I don't know what you're doing.
If that's not your poop window, there's no poop window for you.
So he tells me, I'm like, what's the origin of this phobia? He goes, well, you know, about 15 to 18 years ago, a buddy of mine went to California and we stopped at a gas station. And he said it was one of those bathrooms where the toilet's like 10 feet from the door.
Right, really close.
And he goes, I could have swore I locked it. And then I sat down and started going.
Oh, no.
And he said a man just opened the door.
Oh, no.
And stared straight at him for like a minute.
Oh, no.
Said nothing.
Through the crack of the door?
No. Opened the door all the way. His pants were at his ankles.
Oh, because it was a private bathroom.
It was a one-person bathroom, you know, at a gas station.
Yeah, that'll harm you.
And he says he's just sitting there.
That'll do some damage.
His pants are at his ankles. Yeah. This man's just staring straight at him.
How long are you going to be pooping for here, huh?
And he says, nobody says anything. And then he just awkwardly shuts the door. And he goes, since then, I can't go in public.
Yeah. You know, I don't mind me for being a little scarred by that. Now, I would take that as a sign of remember to lock the door, right? That's step number one of the public bathroom.
It's a pretty important detail.
You know, you should probably remember to do that. But I don't blame you for being scarred by that. Somebody making eye contact with you while you're pooping is not a comfortable feeling.
Well, and you know, when you do this, these kind of events, you get to a point where... I honestly think it's funny. I thought about it on the drive over, and I laughed in my car this morning. But, like, you're a little more delirious.
Yeah.
You're a little more like you're run- I legitimately think I slept an hour and 40 minutes the entire time.
You're not sleeping. You're sore. You're running.
Exactly.
You don't know where you are.
We're running extra.
Right.
You know, you're getting crazy.
You got a brother with a broken ankle.
I haven't laughed. I don't know if I've laughed that hard in a long time. My stomach was literally in pain from laughing so hard, and I was crying. Just thinking about somebody walking in on you and then staring at you.
Not saying anything.
And like, then not saying a word. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And leaving.
Oh,
it was like,
my bad. You forgot to lock it. I'll stand out here guard. Are
yeah.
you pooping? Like, let me help you out here, buddy, because I can't lock it from the outside.
Opening the door and just staring at you. And you're sitting there.
How you doing?
You're not saying anything.
Is there one coming out right now? Are you pushing? Is there one right now? Halfway? Quarterway? Turtle head? What's going on in there?
I just thought about how funny that moment must have been.
Just the deer in headlights moment for both of them. Don't say anything. No move.
Excuse me?
Maybe he won't see me here. No, he sees you. You're pooping. You're sitting right there on the toilet.
I don't know what to do at that point.
Oh, so that was a great moment.
That's a big move, dude. Getting over a 15-year like
public
anxiety,
phobia.
Public phobia, that's a big step in life.
Now, he'll go in like a hotel or a B&B, like, you know,
that
a privacy setting is what he's aiming for.
But yeah, like you're at a restaurant or you're at a whatever, like somewhere out in public and you got to go. It happens to all of us.
I think he's just deathly afraid of the noise.
Yeah.
And like, you know.
The other thing with the solo bathroom, too, that you get, if there's only one, is that even if you do lock it, you could sit down and within 2 seconds of sitting down, you could hear the rattle of the doorknob. And then you're like, now I'm being timed.
Right.
Now there's a guy out there that clearly has to go as well. He's not leaving until I come out of here, and I don't know how long this process is going to take. This might be 10 minutes, and he's going to have to wait outside.
Exactly.
That's an anxiety-filled poop. I understand that feeling.
The other thing was we got done with the run, and the other van, you know, we didn't see him very much. Exchanges were a little tough this year in terms of, like, the timing of everything.
Yeah.
But when we saw them, I was told via them that the two gals in our van thought our van smelled like, and I quote, straight ass.
I imagine it probably did.
And I thought, I'm pretty aware. Like, when I ran my second leg, I got in the van, and I went, oh, my God, I am so sorry. I forgot to put deodorant on. It was oniony.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
This is not going to be good.
I knew it. I could smell myself. And I know we don't smell great because we're running. I thought that was a bit of an extreme. It smelled like ass. That's
a
bit extreme. That's a little harsh.
What do you expect it to smell like? That would be my response at that point in the race. What are we thinking here?
Our other
did we bring an air freshener? Did we bring like you know, one of those little trees to put on the wind with the rearview mirror?
Well, our second van is all gals, and like when I'm seeing them, they have like you know, like under eyelid things to help bags, and like they're using moisturizer,
making sure you say Pampers.
They probably have vanilla candles, and I'm like, okay, you know, that's you know, you do you, but like, don't expect most vans to be like that.
That's not the way that this is going to roll, unless you want to bring something. If you want to do it, by all means, go ahead. But I'm not going to be responsible for that.
I took it a little personal, the whole straight ass comment.
Doing some of those the rest of the way?
So I have car sense. And then also, I would just like to add, without naming names, there was only one person in our van that had to take a dump so bad that took it during one of our other runner's legs in the middle of the woods.
I mean, you just got to go.
And it wasn't a male.
Oh.
So,
oh.
Straight ass.
Oh, oh, we had a female pooping in the woods.
Which, you got to go, you got to go.
It happens.
We support.
Yes.
We do not shame. We are not, poop allies.
No poop shaming going on here.
The relay goes on.
That's right.
Exactly.
I just love that visual. Guys, pull over. Guys, I got to go. All right, hold on.
Hey, you got to go.
Let's hang along the tree line here for a few minutes. How long you got to be?
I thought the safety of our van smelling a little funky and I thought that's what this was about. I know I was going to be shamed for this.
I would love a study to be done as somebody who finds poop humor fantastic, and the story of your buddy breaking a 15-year curse is phenomenal content. I love that. I would love for somebody to do an independent study for how many human feces are left on the ground during the Hood to Coast. How many public poos are we getting? If you're telling me there's 12,000 teams.
I can't. No, 1,200.
Or excuse me, 1,200. Sorry, 1,200 teams. But how many people on each team?
10, 12.
12, right? So
12.
Do some math. We got a lot of
14,000 runners.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people who don't have access to Insta porta potties wherever they're going.
They do a really good job of stocking honey buckets.
But as we've all learned, when you're in the middle of a race, sometimes it just happens and you're miles away from a porta potty and you don't have time to wait there. How many times and how many pounds of human poop is left outside via the Hood to Coast?
So the big debate became because we noticed Honey Bucket, who does an exceptional job along the journey. They showed up at one of the schools in Scappoose and they got a standing ovation when they drove
Honey
through.
Honey Bucket!
Yeah!
Woo!
They had a thing that you could enter to win. And it was $1,000 or your own honey bucket.
Your own honey bucket? A personal honey bucket?
And it became a little bit of a debate. And I would ask, you know, volunteers who were helping out along the way.
What would you rather have? $1,000 or a free honey bucket?
Rather split in the results, I would say, between $1,000 or a honey bucket.
Does the honey bucket come with service?
So that was an important thing. Yeah. I didn't read all the details. If it doesn't, I don't know if this is a very hard choice.
No, why would you want a honey bucket if they're not going to clean it out for you?
But if it is,
no.
If it's serviced,
where are you putting a honey bucket?
So you need land. We talked about that part.
Yeah.
You need land. You need something.
You need
right?
land. Like that would be if you have like a regular camping spot, or you have a
if you
cabin,
like 3 acres, and you throw bonfire parties
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, and you want
you know?
It. That would make sense.
Perfect.
I guess.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Yeah, that's not my life.
Most people don't have that situation.
No, and we all have actual toilets at our house.
But then I thought, could you sell a honey bucket for like over $1,000?
That's a good question.
Like I would
a
imagine
black market honey bucket.
That's some customized engineering.
It is.
And if there's service with it, absolutely.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
So you either get a honey bucket with service, or you make more than $1,000 selling a honey bucket.
Yeah. Trying to see how much that's not helping me out. They're just giving me pictures of actual buckets. It's not telling me. Because I don't think they would cost more than that, but maybe they do. I don't know how much a honey bucket goes for.
I don't either. If it comes with service and you could somehow trade over the service rights,
right.
That has to go for more than
$1,000. Now I'm renting out my one honey bucket to different parties. How much am I making on a monthly basis? Kids' birthday party?
Not a bad idea.
Here's a petting zoo for you brought some goats over to your house. Here's a honey bucket for you for the day. You're welcome.
Well, I survived.
Well
and,
done.
Thank you. You're well 10 done. In the books.
Are we doing it again next year?
I don't know. My legs are really hurting. Do I have a van reserved already? I absolutely do.
You're doing it again. You can't quit it.
I'm never running that leg again.
Don't worry. We will forget every detail of it. And the day before the race next year, we will ask you. So you guys do like a handoff thing?
So how does the whole leg work?
So you guys start with Timberlawn. Where does it end again? Hood to what? Is it the hood to where? Where do you go?
College football kicked off this weekend. We got a lot of NFL news to get to today. We got I heard the Dirty Poll didn't have a guest.
There was no Dirty Poll guest on Friday.
How did you both fail at that?
I had nothing. I tried we texted somebody in Atlanta and I got no response. And then
that's not surprising.
Sent up a bad signal of like, we don't have anybody. And
no locked on guests, no newspaper writer.
Played Kirby Smart Audio for Georgia at number 6. That's what we did.
Well, we got a guest today for the number 14.
Five team. Five more shows
That's
to go.
Right. Five. Number 5 today, so we'll roll on with the Dirty Poll top 12. Oregon kicks off this weekend. Oregon State kicks off this weekend. We're going to have Jamarcus Shepherd on the show on Thursday at 7, so we'll get a preview of Oregon State's football season's loaded show. It's good to be back. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
All right, we'll get to the weekend that was in college football. But one real quick thing. I always tend to forget because the 20 minutes of the show usually flies right by to start. Very quick thank you. One to my wife because we usually host everybody the night before and then in our breaks. House was great. Everybody's happy. We had places to sleep, like stocked it. She's an MVP.
That's a big responsibility, man.
Yeah, and it can wear on you.
Yeah.
You know, hey, my husband's not doing everything he needs to on this list. Guess whose responsibility it feels like it is now?
You want a bunch of sweaty adults to come hang out in your room and you use your shower and your towels and your couches and your beds? Come on in, everybody.
I will be better next year. And the second one is all the volunteers. It's great to have police and people going up and down the roads to make sure the idiot drivers are being responsible.
Yes.
It's another for people to be in the middle of the woods at 2 a.m. Rooting you on a mile left in your leg. Like, there is a lot of people that don't get paid. They're brought in and they're just doing that of the goodness of their heart. And so it's a great community event for that reason, that you get so many people who even don't run the event,
right, just helping
part
out
of the event. Yeah,
understanding how big of a deal it is. Now, what time did you run by our building? Would anybody have been here?
Yeah. Ooh.
We should have had an alert. Like, every,
well, Dusty said last year, one of our other team, she took a shot.
Oh, in the build? Like, she stopped in the building and took a shot?
No, because you don't want to veer off. We're not. It's
you're
know
down
where
on NATO, right?
Dockside
on
is.
Oh yeah.
Literally,
yeah.
I ran right past it.
Yeah, we needed like an Odyssey conga line for you as you went through.
I wouldn't have participated. I probably
conga,
wouldn't.
Conga,
I couldn't
conga.
Stop.
No,
I,
you
my
keep
knee
going.
And my legs. Yeah. If they would have stopped, they're not going
there's
again.
There's no brakes on these skates. I gotta keep moving.
I would say I was like 5.
This would have been Saturday, Friday?
Friday evening.
Oh, yeah. Probably.
Everybody was gone by then.
Yeah, we're going into the weekend.
Yeah,
see you later.
So.
Nobody left.
It was just kind of cool to run down this, you know, I work here. That's cool.
Odyssey Portland!
College football was on our television this weekend.
Yes, it was.
Full disclosure, I watched 60% of the UNC stuff, and then I was like, geez, what a team.
That was a horrible game.
Oh, what happened? Oh, somebody snapped it out of the end zone. Okay, cool. All right.
Have you seen as many articles on if a coach is back or not based on a win against TCU than what I'm seeing with Belichick?
Yeah, the bigger takeaway should be the other side of that game. Like, let's wait and see on North Carolina after one game. The bigger question is how TCU went from randomly playing in a national championship game 3 years ago
to
falling off the face of the earth. And then they come out in the offseason. Remember what their head coach said about the furry quarterback?
I do.
Remember that?
I do.
And Indiana had to respond to that?
Yep.
Maybe he wasn't the problem?
We'll find out.
Maybe he wasn't the issue?
What were they last year? Weren't they like, were they 9-3?
Something like that. I thought they won their bowl game.
They had a couple games late where if they would have won it, they'd be in the mix. And then they ended up choking it, but
I mean, we know their title game was, I mean, it was fluky. It was, they were 8-4 and won their bowl game to go 9-4. I believe they beat USC in the Alamo Bowl.
You're 0-1 and you lost to UNC, which was a laughing stock of the sport last year.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing you're matching 8-4.
Yeah, based on that start, because I think the Big 12 is a little feisty. The further down the depth chart you go, right? Like Texas Tech's going to be good, BYU is going to be good, Arizona's going to be solid this year, ASU. Like there's some good teams in the Big 12 this season, and it's not just a pushover conference. Their championship game appearance was random; it came out of nowhere. We knew it was a bit fluky, but how they haven't been able to harness any of that and become a consistent, you know, contending playoff team.
Isn't that about money? Ultimately, in
does
the
TCU
sport
not
right
have
now.
Money?
Do they have
they
money?
Gave
like,
Sonny Dykes a massive contract extension after that, as if it wasn't a fluke.
I would
got
think
there.
TCU would have more money than most in the Big 12.
I mean, they got.
Do they have more than Tech? Let's just run.
Nobody has more than Texas Tech
Texas
in the Big 12.
Texas Tech has the most money. Texas A&M's in the SEC.
SEC.
I'm naming Texas schools.
Oh, just Texas schools. Oh no, probably not.
Do they? Do we know if they have more money than Baylor?
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
SMU got literally shut down because of spending.
Yeah.
We know they have money. I don't know if they have more money than SMU.
Yeah, it's hard to tell behind the scenes of that.
You kind of go through the laundry list of Texas-based schools, and I'm like, I know they have money, but, like, you have to have, with what you're saying, Dirt, of staying power and being in the mix.
I also think you need to have a good head coach, and I don't think they have one.
I think he's a fine coach, but, yeah, I don't think he's a great coach. I think a lot of this is coach/spending. It has to be in sync, and it has to be top flight.
No doubt about
it.
To
be in the mix.
Your Texas point is 100% valid. I would just flip it slightly and say, how many teams in the Big 12 have more money than they do? Because that's the conference they play
in. I would say Texas Tech and BYU for sure.
I would assume, but I don't know for certain about BYU.
And after that.
Yeah.
What about ASU?
Who knows?
And Kenny Dillingham is constantly asking for more money. So maybe they do, but
they're all asking.
Exactly. I don't think this is my point, though. Like, you're not in a conference with Ohio State, Oregon, and Michigan, and like
and Penn State.
How are we ever going to compete with this? Texas Tech is that. But outside of that, like.
BYU's got more than them.
That's fair. Yeah. BYU,
I think BYU is just. Other if than they that, decide man, to spend it or not.
Arizona's story is about how they got their quarterback to turn down $2.5 million to stick around for another year.
Kansas is, you know, they got that stadium by that donor. I don't know if Kansas has more than them. But
I think Kansas basketball has money. I don't think Kansas football is
so does Arizona basketball. Well, that's where the money goes.
Didn't they just spend $300 million on
a stadium?
Yeah, on a stadium.
On their stadium, So did Northwestern.
That's pretty good. Oklahoma State?
Oklahoma State's got okay money, but they also have.
Yeah, we'll see what the new coach riles up.
Mike Gundy was complaining about funding. Again, everybody is.
Yeah, he wanted to put a QR code on the helmet.
I think when you look at his history as a head coach, it's pretty fascinating, dude. Like, he was bad at Cal.
I didn't think he was bad. He wasn't,
he wasn't lighting the world on fire.
Who was the coach before him? The
Tedford?
He wasn't Tedford.
No.
But I didn't think he was bad.
In four seasons at Cal, do you know what his record was?
You're going to tell me it's bad.
I don't know, 20 and 36 or something?
19 and 30. He was 10 and 26 in Pac-12 play.
Okay, he was bad.
1 and 11, 5 and 7, 8 and 5, 5 and 7, fired.
Can I rescind an opinion within like a minute of
it? He goes to SMU, and they were 5 and 7, 10 and 3, 7 and 3, 8 and 4, and then ends up at TCU, and he won with Gary Patterson's players in year one. They went to the national championship his first year there with a roster that he did not bring in, and since then he's gone 5 and 7, 9 and 4, 9 and 4.
Well, I saw the 60%, and then I saw the final, and I went, I'm good. I don't need to watch that other 40%.
Yeah, that game was one of the worst college football games
I've
ever
watched. You know what I took
away?
I don't need to pay attention to either of those teams this season.
No.
Correct.
If North Carolina wins a couple more, by all means, make it a story.
Bill down your throat if that's like a 5-win team going for 7
He'll start 2-0 because they got an FCS school this week. And then after that.
And then they got Clemson.
They play like Clemson and Notre Dame in back-to-back weeks. And if you get drilled in both those games, which I think you're going to get drilled in both those games, they will become irrelevant.
Shout out the Big Ten Network for stealing the Pac-12 Network idea. The N60 game recap. Where you cut commercials in downtime.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
Downs.
It's a lifesaver.
They've been doing that.
I watched the USC-San Jose State game until it was 35-3. I saw the final, and I was like, oh. And then I watched it, and I'm like, it was 35-3.
Yeah, it was 35-3. It was over.
Did USC have more points than there were fans in the stands?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. California sports fans.
I don't
fans
need to pay attention to
awful.
USC until they play Oregon.
But can I defend California sports fan today who's going to take an absolute just
shellacking
from the collective.
I mean, it's one thing to have some open pockets. It's another for literally nobody to be
it's
there.
August.
It was 94 degrees.
It was 94 degrees. Yeah. It was August, and you're playing San Jose State at noon.
But see, it's not just the opponent. It's 94 degrees, and I've been to that concrete piece of crap. That
there's no shade.
There's no shade.
No shade at all.
No.
And some of those seats, are burning hot in the sun.
Yeah. Are they just metal? They're metal benches, aren't they?
There is plastic, like, seat back ones.
Oh, okay.
But, like, yeah, it's a lot of metal benches and old plastic seats that just, like, that was inexcusable of that attendance, but also I kind of can't blame
people. Well, also,
for not
you
go.
Can put 100,000 people in there, too. So even if there was 35,000.
There was not 35,000 people.
There weren't.
There were not. No. They said this, the announced attendance was 50,000. It's one of the most egregious fake attendance numbers.
There were a lot of tickets
seen.
Left at will call for that.
All of this is true and valid. Do you know who they opened their 2009 season against in 100-degree weather?
I don't.
San Jose State.
Uh-huh.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Place was full.
They had won national championships.
Yeah, I mean, they were good.
So like
they were relevant.
If you're not making a playoff, you're not flashy and sexy.
It's a sign of where the program is at, that nobody cares to go to that game.
Well, yeah.
That also was the game that, you know who they were supposed to play in that game? San Jose State was the Notre Dame filler.
Mm.
They were supposed to get Notre Dame at home. Mm. And Notre Dame and them obviously canceled, and they replaced the game with a week zero game against San Jose State.
They more backed out of that Notre Dame deal, didn't they?
I mean, it's both sides, right? USC says it's their fault. Notre Dame says it's their fault. USC wanted to play the game in week zero. Notre Dame didn't want to play the game in week zero, and so we're not playing a 100-year rivalry because of that. And also, Lincoln Riley can't beat them, and so he didn't want to play them anymore.
I also saw a bad little weekend. For our guy Patrick Harris, his G spot is off to an horrific start. He had UNLV number 2.
It was tough. Tough one out there.
He has Hawaii number 6.
Yeah. That Hawaii-Stanford game was one of the better ones of the weekend, at least. That game was fun.
That was one of the few that I didn't check out.
I mean,
DVR.
At the end of the day, it's not going to matter that much. You'll be 100% fine. Hawaii's not going to go to the college football playoff if you can't beat Stanford.
Conley had him.
They were a pick, preseason pick, and Stanford was dominant and then forgot how to play football and blew the entire lead, and then somehow Stanford still covered the spread. That was a spring in the line pick for me on Friday, and had it been an actual gambling weekend, I would have broken my television.
What was the spread?
Did you see it? It was
4. I know they were up 20, and then they blew it in the fourth quarter.
Hawaii came back, took the lead. Stanford then responds and retakes the lead. They're up by 3. Hawaii has the ball with about 90 seconds to go, chance to go down and kick a field goal and tie the game. Quarterback fumbles it on a quarterback draw. Stanford scoop and score. And the guy stopped at the 4-yard line, too. Like, he's running into the end zone, stops at the 4-yard line.
A little hesitation move.
And then ran into the end zone, and they covered the number. go down!
Do we need to give more consideration to UVA and the ACC?
That was the only thing I took away. I'm going to have to keep an eye out for them.
They're like the oldest team in the Power Four.
Missouri transfer.
He completed 9 of 11 passes.
He was lighting up like a Christmas
tree. But they got an offensive line that has a ton of experience.
No, I read about them yesterday because I'm like, man, they really housed NC State. And then I read, I was like, they're the oldest team in the Power Four. They took Indiana's model, and they think they can win that.
As somebody who watched the vast majority of that game, too, let me also enlighten you that I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you. That NC State will have the worst Power Four offense in the country this year.
Whoa.
That was a humiliating display of offensive prowess. They could not complete a pass. Their quarterback is horrible. One of the worst quarterback performances I've ever seen in my life.
If you are an NC State or fill in the blank,
and he was a returning quarterback,
they were hyping
him up.
Yes, he was 12 of 23 for 84 yards and a pick.
So are you telling me the season's over and it's week zero?
Yeah, I'm eliminating NC State. NC State's out.
An awful feeling as a sports fan.
Cross him off the list, dude.
You even hang the flag every Saturday?
No.
You're like, let's move on.
If I'm an NC State fan, I'll watch you again in October if you give me a reason to. I'm taking a break for a couple of weeks. That was horrible.
Now, the biggest takeaway was I need to keep an eye on Virginia in the ACC.
I mean, they got to the title game last year.
Yes.
Why did we?
They were a game away from going to the college football
we
playoff.
We just didn't buy them at all.
Yeah, no. We thought it was smoke and mirrors. Yeah. And if you watched that game, it wasn't smoke and mirrors.
No.
They were housing
NC
State.
I saw FSU struggle a little bit with New Mexico State.
That was fun for a brief moment. The nervous energy in Tallahassee, which, by the way, place was sold
fired.
Out.
One He's score game in the third quarter.
Absolutely getting fired.
They called a trick play to a halfback pass, and a guy dropped it in the back of the end zone. Would have been a pretty sick catch, but he landed and the ball popped out. And it was like that was the moment that the game kind of – because I think they would have tied it at 17. And it said he dropped it. They ended up not scoring. Florida State went on a run at the end.
This is easy for me to say versus you two, right? I know everybody has their weekend plans. It's absolutely, from my perspective, easy to say this but I just did it. When you have an event like that, it makes week zero seem so insignificant.
I'll go ahead and add it on top. It is insignificant.
I know.
That was a horrible weekend of football.
Right, but it was, it's back, and I'm like, do you care? I mean, it was football on my TV.
There was football on the TV.
You care that it's just football's back, yes. And you're sitting and watching football, and I made wings and jalapeno poppers.
I would argue the most entertaining game was the last one, the Memphis-UNLV game. I don't know how great they are, but that was an entertaining game.
Well, the best game of the weekend was on Friday night. Idaho-Cal Poly was an absolute banger. Without a doubt, the best game of the weekend.
You watched Idaho-Cal Poly?
Standalone game Friday night. Banger. Game-winning touchdown on fourth down, rolling out, 20 seconds to go on the clock, back and forth, banger on
Friday.
Do
we need an intervention for your co-host?
No, it's also highlighting how bad the rest of the weekend was.
That's true.
You're not wrong. UNLV Memphis was at least competitive.
I know you're giving me a jokey thing, but you're also here's a great poll question. What is worse, admitting you watched Idaho-Cal Poly or not being able to publicly crap for 15 Ooh. Years?
Yeah, that's pretty tough, yeah.
I think both of those
I started this show Friday when you're – I watched a lot of FCS football on Thursday night last week.
Disgusting.
Patrick Harris shamed me into it. Football started. You're not going to
okay.
watch FCS?
We already got, like, one of the worst bad beats, Villanova gacking hard.
I'm already over, and you're giving
FCS
what's the matter
with you guys?
Football updates?
Shut up over there, all right?
Jesus. I just – it's
look – we're addicts that have been withdrawn.
So did your whole Saturday, did you do anything or revolve around
No,
football?
We were active. We were doing stuff. Okay. I just had games on the entire day and would sit down, you know, pockets here, watch, turn it on. But okay. We were moving around. We went to the park for a little bit. Okay. I did not camp out on the couch and watch
it
football.
It wasn't a normal, like this weekend is going to be.
Bobby and Eugene this weekend.
I know you'll
yeah.
be in Eugene,
yeah.
but it's going to be insane. In
I mean, I had a hops game in the middle of the afternoon. So
that makes it easy.
Yeah. I was watching until I left, and then I watched
yeah, I
when
came
I
back
got
Saturday,
back.
Saturday, the ballpark was full.
I love yeah. that we have a great American sport that starts in a place where it rains probably more than anywhere else on Earth, and we're suffering through bad weather games at the end of August in Ireland where teams can't snap the football and hold on to it. Mm. That's how we start our season.
Nothing more American than outsourcing the kickoff of your sport.
To Ireland. You guys take this. What, it's going to pour down rain again? Sounds great. Nobody's going to have footing.
College football is back, baby. All right, we got a lot more to get into. The Cafe Day Dirt and Spray coming up is going to open at 7. It is 6:44 on the Fan.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
College football coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years, guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Cafe Day Dirt and Spray going to open up here at the top of the hour. We'll go to our number 5 team in the top 12 preseason dirty poll. We'll let you know who that is in the second hour of the radio program. Talk about Oregon kicking off their season coming up at 8 a.m. It's a loaded show today. Very quickly, I want to ask you.
What do you got?
You know, you can argue with the final results. We can joke about attendance. I did see the score in the final before I saw the game, the USC San Jose State, and I went, whoa, okay. It's interesting. 42-26. Then I watched it, and I'm like, it's 35-3. It's literally backups all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
What were your takeaways from USC before the second, third stringers came in, mainly third stringers. I'm just curious, your thoughts, because I thought they looked crisp. Yeah. I know it's San Jose State, so I'm holding that part.
Yeah.
But they have freshmen at tight end and receivers. Like
they're freshmen
just,
all over.
They're rolling out true freshmen.
They have five starting on their depth chart, five true freshmen.
You got Mayava back there. Mm-hmm. Like, what did you make of USC before they gave up some points at the end of the game?
It's funny because it's a double-edged sword, no pun intended. On the one hand, you watch, and there were a couple of their young guys in particular that jumped off of the screen.
Bowman and Mosley?
Mosley, who's a 20-year-old freshman. Bowman is the tight end. He was the top-ranked tight end in the country, and then in Wafel, I think is how you say his name. He was the number one recruit in the country. He's a defensive lineman. And all three of those guys had highlight plays that make you go, damn, right? Like that looked incredibly impressive. I think the question remains on that regard. How do freshmen hold up as the season goes on, and can you rely on freshmen in your biggest games of
the
year?
Can they beat an Oregon at home?
They remind me in that regard of how many young, talented players are going to play this year to a little bit of Oregon last year, right, where you're going into these big games and you're like, okay, we got two freshmen at running back. We got a freshman at corner. How do they hold up against guys who are 23 years old? And sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't. And so that was a positive takeaway. I also just chuckled, like, all of it's not wrong, but I do believe messaging is important. And something that has always bothered me about Lincoln Riley, I shouldn't say bother because I quite enjoy how bad he's been at USC. But if I were a USC fan, something that would bother me is that while sometimes the argument you're making is valid, it just sounds like you're making excuses. And he again, after the game, went on this rant about, fourth quarter, we're playing third stringers. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like we weren't up 35-3 dominating the game. Mm-hmm. And I would just ask people to put that kind of quote against a quote of another coach who has accomplished more in recent years, who's watched their team blow a lead in the fourth quarter, who simply comes out and just says, that's not good enough. That's not our standard. Because you can say all you want about how bad your depth was and we were getting way deep into the bag. Guess what you're going to have to do later this season? Guys are going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Remember when they came to Eugene at the end of last year and they didn't have anybody healthy on their defensive line? Mm-hmm. If your secondary is already a little leaky and a bit of a question mark coming into the year, and your backups are getting torched by a quarterback at San Jose State, like you can say you went all the way down to four string.
But
that's
San
fine.
San Jose State.
But it's San Jose State. Right. Like your backup should be better than San Jose State. And I've heard, like, Lanning has had to do this a number of times. Think of the playoff game against JMU where they got torched in the second half.
And we defend that a little bit, though?
We did as media. This is a different conversation. Yeah. I can defend it as a media member and say, I get it. The coach at the podium after the game saying we were dominating the game. I'm not going to pretend like we didn't do it. It's our backups. It's our third string. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is just kind of the line of thinking he's had after games, and I think it's a coach who understands. Nobody was in the stands. The administration had to put out a statement basically admonishing their fans for not showing up to the first game of the season. Yeah. So all of that kind of comes together for me of, I think if you're a USC fan, you're thrilled about how the young guys looked. The fourth quarter points in the grand scheme of things in a small, like, they don't matter a ton. But also, you're going to have to rely on that depth later in the year. And if it's that big of a problem, that could be what sinks your season come November.
No, I think that is absolutely a big takeaway. Because to me, the final score, I agree with your Lincoln point. The final score to me, I didn't really care.
No, they scored
much.
23 points in the fourth quarter. It was 42-3 or 35-3 or whatever.
You're right to point out, like, some of that depth's going to end up playing this year. So, like, what's the concern level there? That being said, Lincoln has absolutely been a big excuse guy. How many times does it feel like you've heard him bitch and moan about having to go East Coast?
We had to travel. We're three plays away. If we just do this, we win the game.
You ask Dan Lanning what he's got going to Illinois or Rutgers or something, and it's our schedule. You got to do what you got to do. Like, he doesn't
sit there and go,
you know, it's unfair, and he right. just goes and does it, right? Like,
right.
That's the thing I admire about him. It is, I can half defend the heat and the awful nature because that stadium is the most overrated piece of crap I've ever been to.
Agreed.
I also have to acknowledge, and you can't ignore the fact that they have clearly, as a team and program, they've lost a huge portion of sports fan in that city that once, like, that was the most beloved thing.
Yes.
The Lakers, Dodgers, and USC have traded off in different decades and eras of, like, who's the team in the city, right? And you can say it's the Dodgers or it's the Lakers overall, but they've all taken turns. And USC, having just watched that Vince Young 30 for 30.
I mean, that place was packed. It was jumping. It was the place to be in Los Angeles.
It was the team, man.
Yes.
Like, the superstars of the city were the college football players.
Right.
And they can't get 20,000 people to show up to their opening football game.
No.
It just, much like you said with Jonathan Smith at Michigan State, it feels like he has so much riding on this season down in L.A. Like, if he doesn't get to the playoff this year five, the excuses, they're already done. But, like, he might really be done. And we're going to look back, and I'll raise my hand. I've already been wrong on it. And say, weirdest culture fit possible. You just up and left Oklahoma and everything you had built because you want to live at the beach, even though you have no real ties to any of it.
Right. You're already at a blue blood school.
Yeah, let
Oklahoma
me just
is
jump
a blue blood.
Ship and go to this right. in the dead of the night after right. losing to Oklahoma State was an odd move and surprising, but I was like, hey, dude, he's Lincoln. Look at him. And if they don't get to a playoff this year, I wonder if they're going to just pony up and say, we need better than this, because the fan base is telling you, you are not captivating us in any way.
No, because you can, all of the excuses are valid. You're like, as a fan myself, do I want to go sit in 100-degree weather and watch my team play San Jose State? No. So I'm not going to be on one side yelling about, you know, and critiquing these fans. I also think it's a sign of an unhealthy program that you can at least partially fill a place for game one. You don't need to sell it out.
I agree with that.
When Oregon plays Portland State on a Friday night in 2 weeks, is it going to be 100% sold out? No, probably not. There'll be a little row here, a couple seats there, but it's going to be about 97% full. Mark my words, you're going to turn that game on, and you'll be like, damn, a lot of people here on a Friday night for Portland State. Now, the weather isn't the same argument. I get that. I just, to me, it's a sign of a bit of an irrelevant situation in Los Angeles, and it's a coach who has done nothing to captivate that sports city when everybody thought he would captivate that sports city at the start. Had they been winning along the way and they were a playoff team last year and you felt like legitimately they can win a championship this year, I guarantee you that place on Saturday afternoon is 80% full. Heat be damned, because people flock to winners in LA. Mm-hmm. And he's not been a winner. And so that's a huge red flag if I'm a part of that administration. And we can all make the same joke of like, I'm sure it'll be sold out for Oregon or Ohio State. Like, yeah, dude, everybody sells out when Oregon or Ohio State come to town. They're the two of the best teams in the sport. It's about how do you support your team and what kind of atmosphere do you provide for your program, your recruits, and your players? And that was a pitiful one on Saturday.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. USC, they look fine. They look okay. They get the win, but we'll see what happens. Week zero college football. We'll have more college football coming up on the show, but we kick off hour number two, opening up Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
What if the thing you're listening to right now never got interrupted? What if it could play uninterrupted from room to room on Sonos? What if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? What if you really like how it feels and you become a Sonos person who can't stop saying to their friends, what if you start with two Sonos speakers just to see how it feels? Because it's not magic, but it's not not magic.